Good morning.
Good morning.
And welcome to our worship at First Congregational Church. Remind you in the course of the morning to find the pew pads and sign in and pass them back and forth. And if you don't recognize somebody in the pew, that's a really subtle way. That's a really subtle way to find somebody's name out and meet somebody when we pass the peace. Welcome, for no matter where you are on life's journey, you are welcome here. Please join me in the call to worship, which should seem somewhat familiar to you. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. You anointest my head with oil, my cup overfloweth. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Jesus offers, come to me, all you who labor and are heavily burdened. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Let us ask God to forgive us using first the printed prayer of confession, followed by a moment of silent personal prayer. Let us pray. Almighty God, in raising Jesus from the grave, you shattered the power of sin and death. We confess that we remain captive to doubt and fear, bound by the ways that lead to death. We overlook the poor and the hungry, and pass by those who mourn. We are deaf to the cries of the oppressed, and indifferent to calls for peace. We despise the weak, and abuse the earth you made. Forgive us, God of mercy. Help us to trust your power to change our lives and make us new, that we may know the joy of life abundant, given in Jesus Christ, the risen Lord. Amen. For God so loved the world that God gave the only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God sent the Son into the world not to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. Friends, believe that good news of the gospel. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Amen. And as we have been reconciled to Christ, let us be reconciled to one another. Please take a moment to greet each other in Christ's name.
Our first reading today is from the New Testament, Acts chapter 9, verse 36 through 43. Now in Joppa there was a disciple whose name was Tabitha, which in Greek is Dorcas. She was devoted to good works and acts of charity. At that time she became ill and died. When they had washed her, they laid her in a room upstairs. Since Lydda was near Joppa, the disciples, who heard that Peter was there, sent two men to him with the request, "Please come to us without delay." So Peter got up and went with them, and when he arrived, they took him to the room upstairs. All the widows stood beside him, weeping and showing tunics and other clothing that Dorcas had made while she was with them. Peter put all of them outside, and then he knelt down and prayed. He turned to the body and said, "Tabitha, get up." Then she opened her eyes, and seeing Peter, she sat up. He gave her his hand and helped her up. Then calling the saints and widows, he showed her to be alive. This became known throughout Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. Meanwhile, he stayed in Joppa for some time with a certain Simon, a tanner. And from the epistles, Revelation chapter 7, verses 9 through 17. After this, I looked, and there was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, robed in white, with palm branches in their hands. They cried out in a loud voice, saying, "Salvation belongs to our God, who is seated on the throne, and to the Lamb." And all the angels stood around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, singing, "Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen." Then one of the elders addressed me, saying, "Who are these, robed in white, and where have they come from?" I said to him, "Sir, you are the one that knows." Then he said to me, "These are they who have come out of the great ordeal. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. For this reason, they are before the throne of God and worship him day and night within his temple. And the one who is seated on the throne will shelter them. They will hunger no more and thirst no more. The sun will not strike them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to springs of the water of life, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." And finally, from the Gospels of John, chapter 10, verses 22 through 30. At that time, the festival of the dedication took place in Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was walking in the temple in the portico of Solomon. So the Jews gathered around him and said to him, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Messiah, tell us plainly." Jesus answered, "I have told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name testify to me, but you do not believe because you do not belong to my sheep. My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. What my Father has given me is greater than all else, and no one can snatch it out of the Father's hand. The Father and I are one." Here ends our reading.
So, how good are you guys at sheep? Have any of you seen sheep? Do they look like that? You're not so sure. I mean, how many of you have seen sheep out, like, in a farm and not, like, in a petting zoo or something like that? Are they always that cute and lamb-like? No, they're probably more like sometimes bald. Oh, after their hair's been trimmed, yeah. They look more like that. They're sort of a grayish brown and all that. Right, but basically sheep live outside, and in this time of year, there's some Mennonites that raise sheep near where I live. And sheep are really, they're like animals, you know? They are animals, that's right. So they look more like animals. Yeah, that's a border collie. We've got a border collie mix. But one of the things that you keep hearing in the Bible is about Jesus being the good shepherd. And usually there's a picture like that of Jesus looking just really Jesus-like, with a little lamb on its shoulders, and he's carrying it from Psalm 23, where the Lord is my shepherd. May have heard everybody. Well, apparently artists like to put sheep on top of Jesus' shoulders. I would think, a bigger sheep like that would be kind of heavy, I would think. So that I think the idea is that Jesus loves the sheep so much that he'll carry them like that. Yeah, and that, so the idea is that Jesus loves his sheep. Well, that's probably the way sheep and Jesus really would have looked in ancient Palestine when Jesus ran, because this is what sheep herding really looks like in Palestine and the area around Jerusalem. And it's not quite as cute and all that. The thing is that Jesus is our shepherd and takes good care of us, and that's why everybody sort of loves that. And sometimes, like, this last week has been a little crazy, hasn't it? for a lot of people, particularly the adults around you, have been a little weirded out with stuff that happened in Boston and all that, right? And this is the kind of week that it's really kind of nice to have the Bible tell us that God is our shepherd and will take care of us. And maybe we don't actually end up on Jesus' shoulders like the pictures. But it's nice to know that Jesus does carry us around safely and keep us safe. And all the bad things that can happen, Jesus will put himself in front of us and protect us in really, really important, loving ways. So even on a week when things are kind of scary, we've got a shepherd who takes care of takes the scariness away. Yes.
But she doesn't need to
hear
the button on her shoulder.
That's because she's not a real sheep. I mean, would you carry her around on your shoulders for a long time?
Yeah.
You would? How about you work on that later? Right, can she do your piggyback ride? Yeah, how about you don't do that right now, okay? Because, you know, like if you're going through the door off to Sunday school and she hits her noggin, that's just not going to be any good, right? Yeah, see, if Jesus would love the little sheep like you'd love your little sister or something like that. So that's what we really, really have to remember, that even on crazy days, Jesus loves us even better than our big sisters do. Does she always love you? Yeah. He's on the picture. So anyhow, let's have a quick prayer before we go. I'm a holder. You know, there are two ways of doing prayers. One is you fold your hands, and others you hold. I'm a holder just because that means that we make a circle and all the praying energy kind of gets going around. Okay, you just hug her, that's good enough. Dear God, you are our best shepherd. And even when we're kind of wiggly little sheep, we thank you for taking care of us and carrying us when we're tired and loving us all the time, no matter what happens. As we pray, as Jesus taught us, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. On earth as it is in heaven. As we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Okay, sheep out to the Sunday school area. No, don't give her a piggyback right now.
We love Psalm 23. And over the years, we've loved to paraphrase it in idioms perhaps a little more familiar than that of an ancient Palestinian sheep tender. Some updates have been atrocious. I ran across one based on hockey that was so forced and so lame that I totally erased it from my brain at all, except that it was about hockey. Some have been pretty good. For instance, a friend of mine, Leslie Latham, once emailed a newsletter with this variation by Jim Taylor, who obviously travels a lot. "It's so good to be home, to lie down in my own bed, to play my favorite music, to shed the tensions of travel as water runs off my shoulder in the shower. Thank you, God. You got me to the right gates in the airports. You delivered me from dangerous drivers. You kept me from getting lost in the concrete canyons of the city. You gave me courage to face my critics. You did not desert me. When I was lonely, you found me a friend. When I was weary, you led me to a welcome. The airline didn't lose my bags. I am at peace. I'd like to live in these familiar walls forever. Come live with me and let me live with you." That's from Everyday Psalms, published by Woodlake Books. For details, go to www.joinhands.com. I think that Taylor's variation gets to the feeling of guidance, security, comfort, and God's presence, which psalm writing David captured with the enduring image of the shepherd. Although it is not one of the most frequent ways that Jesus refers to himself, his words in John 10, calling himself the Good Shepherd, resonate so well with Psalm 23 that we've made it a major metaphor for Jesus. Actually, it's just this passage and the parable of the lost sheep that introduce the shepherd motive, but it works so well for us that there are a disproportionate number of those pictures and songs about Jesus as the Good Shepherd compared with other images such as the Son of Man or the Judge of the Quick and the Dead. Probably has something to do with us preferring sweet pastoral vision of Jesus to one of the righteous judge bursting through the clouds of heaven. Certainly, it's more edifying to teach our children. But it may also be that most of us feel bruised and battered by life and kind of lost in the wilderness enough to make the sense of relief felt by a misplaced sheep hearing the voice of the shepherd to be something we can really, really relate to, particularly as we get old enough to know better. So for a lot of reasons, Jesus, the Good Shepherd, works for us. We love the image. So since we're fond of it and used to the reassurance provided by God, who is our shepherd, I'd like to jar us out of our sometimes too comfortable rut and reverse the sentence. Reverse the sentence, where am I? Let's reverse the sentence and let the image challenge us again. Yes, the Lord is our shepherd, but our shepherd is also the Lord. I don't think this is merely a semantic game, really. I find an important wake-up call in the corollary. When we are so used to the comfy feeling of being the little lost lamb snuggling in the shepherd's arms, we're roused from complacency by reminding ourselves that the shepherd, in whose arms we are carried when found from lostness, is also the Lord, the God of heaven and earth, the Redeemer, the Messiah, the Savior. Puts the whole sigh and lie back in the Lord's arms and rest and be still thing into perspective. We are indeed found and carried by the Good Shepherd, the one who loves us. But that Good Shepherd is also the one who died for us, who saves us, who laid down his life so that we, sheep that we are, may live. It really raises the stakes to remember that the shepherd we love loves us so much that he died for us. We kind of heedless sheep don't often look back and remember the cost to the shepherd for our safety. It took a lot for the shepherd to bring us through the valley of the shadow of death. The shepherd died on the way through that valley. Looking back on that from the arms of the resurrected shepherd should almost make our hearts skip a beat with dread and sorrow and relief. How utterly amazing, how almost beyond logic it is to realize that the shepherd we cherish actually did lay down his life for us and to be raised so that we would have new life. The shepherd is Lord. Likewise, that shepherd is the Lord who will judge us. And we forget that story of the separation of the sheep from the goats in Matthew 26 is also the shepherd at work. The critters which don't pass the test get cast out. The sheep that run away from their obligation to follow the shepherd may just end up lunch for the wolves out there. If we forget that sheep can let ourselves get seduced away by false voices and ungodly shepherds, just may end up as lamb burgers on the sheep rustler's dinner table. If we forget that our shepherd is the Lord, if we wander off after false shepherds and empty idols, we will lose all the advantage and protection of the good shepherd. We've got to stick with our shepherd being the Lord and only the Lord. And like just about every other place in the Bible, the test comes down to whether we act like disciples of the Christ who died and lives and reigns for us. The short version is this: what you do counts. We are called to live as Christ commands and to follow Christ's example, even when it runs counter to the prevailing cultures. Acts 2 reports about the newborn church that they broke bread together, prayed at the temple together, shared what they had among each other as needed, and their glad and generous hearts captured the goodwill of the people. We are called to act in ways which fit the character of the gospel and earn the approval of the good shepherd. The early church had togetherness as a priority and demonstrated what a flock should be, and it made a difference. It's not just that our present behavior is joyful and committed followers of the shepherd Lord has a lot to do with our eternal condition. It is also a winsome witness to our neighbors. Again, we see that in Acts 9, the story of Dorcas. The communal care and quality of life evidenced by the early church was profoundly attractive to others seeking a satisfying, soul-enhancing, God-following way of life. Their lifestyle was their witness. People could see that they lived out their ideals of compassion and care and community. Others could see it from the outside and want to get inside and experience it for themselves. It was their outward behavior conforming to an inward faith that attracted new believers. Notice that it was particularly the quiet witness and the integrity of their lives to the gospel which drew others, not the grand sermons of the apostles, although they obviously helped. The draw was how the members lived out the gospel in the sermons. Their acts were the sermon illustrations themselves. This reassures me some, because high-profile public witnessing is not a form of evangelism favored by UCCs. Acts reassures me that the quiet lives of the faithful are, if anything, more effective at attracting others. What our neighbors respond to is an integrated life of faith, not loud slogans. Oh, speaking of slogans, the same emailed newsletter with the Air Traveler's paraphrase of Psalm 23 had a bunch of Christian bumper stickers collected by a Rose Matko. The relevance were, God loves everyone, but probably prefers fruits of the spirits to religious nuts. God doesn't call the qualified, God qualifies the called. By their behavior, Jerusalem knew the disciples of Christ such as Dorcas and Peter, were faithful. By our fruits, our neighbors will judge our faithfulness. By our actions, the shepherd will judge us worthy. And praise God, when we are called, Christ's Spirit will give us the wherewithal and the grace and the courage and the faith to live as befits followers of Christ. Add to that something else. Only Jesus truly prepares a table for us, the communion table. And this too sets the true shepherd apart from every human leader. Only Jesus is the one who leads us to the green feeding grounds of paradise. Only Jesus pours himself out for the good of the flock. This wonderful mystery that we celebrate the first week of the month when we gather here around the Holy Communion table for our Lord and Shepherd. Just as the fifth verse of the psalm, Jesus prepares a table before us. In that case, literally. And this is how, by feeding the flock spiritual food, God, Jesus gives us life abundant and wholesome. We are at that point known in the breaking of bread. It is the distinctive sacrament by which Christians all over the globe are recognized. No matter what words are used, no matter what liturgies are used, no matter what cups and chalices, plates and patens are used. We are blessed sheep. To the Holy Communion table, Jesus leads us like a good, faithful, life-giving, loving shepherd. So although it may not be quite as comforting and reassuring to us as Jesus as my shepherd feels, I'd suggest that it is every bit as central to our life together under God to remember and act like. The shepherd of Easter is our Lord. Knowing that our shepherd is the Lord is one of the ways our adult faith continues to keep growing beyond those sentimental pictures we loved as children. It reminds us that this is serious business, this faith business. It will make a big difference in how we relate, not just to God, but to our neighbors and to each other, as we remember the ultimate importance, the saving grace signified by my shepherd is the Lord. The Lord who loves us and cares for us and challenges us and leads us in new paths today and tomorrow. May we not just love saying the 23rd Psalm, may we be bold and faithful enough to live it. Amen. Please be seated. O good shepherd, your flock comes to you at the calling of your voice. How wonderful it is to recognize your voice and find direction and comfort. How wonderful it is to hear your shepherding voice and realize it is the same voice which said, "Let there be," at the first stroke of creation. It is the same voice which will greet us beyond time with, "Well done, good and faithful servants," when we follow you all the days of our lives. O good shepherd, our hearts almost burst with joy hearing your voice. We thank you for guiding us and protecting us and calling us and saving us. O good shepherd, your flock comes to you, some skipping and dancing and frisking like lambs, some wiser and more mature, some walking slowly with the weight of years and old joints, some with saddened hearts, some with burdens nearly unbearable, some with cares, some spooked by the shadows of the valley, some needing your healing touch like anointing oil, some wandering aimlessly, some wandering too far and needing a crook pulling us back, some barely escaping the jaws of the world's wolves, some returning from being lost, many with happy and joyous hearts, no matter what has tried to lay us low this week. Even though our voices are inaudible, we pray. Pray for huge things like peace to be established in the Holy Land, for peace and hope and safety to arrive in Syria and Afghanistan and the Koreas, for the speedy end of war and unrest, crime and violence, for progress in efforts to eradicate illness, for justice and mercy and equality and opportunity, inclusiveness to become the guiding principles of all governments, for compassion and honesty and generosity and neighborliness to be the hallmarks of all personal relationships, for gentle and just stewardship caring for this planet and its resources beyond Earth Day. It's been hard to remove from our minds the victims of the bombs of the Boston Marathon and those who caused them, and the families of everyone. We pray for those picking up their town after the explosion at the fertilizer plant in West Texas, and for those in the aftermath of the earthquakes in Iran and China, the tornado in Shenango. There has been so much loss of life, limb, and livelihood this week. We take a deep breath and pray for people not to be vindictive or to tarnish whole groups unfairly, especially because there's been so much evidence of human bravery and kindness and goodness, even in the horrifying events, human and natural. Turning nearby, we pray for people in situations that directly concern us, thinking of them in silence. Thinking of Maggie and people we know in Massachusetts. For Holly running in memory of Dan Carter. We give you thoughts for Howard and hip replacement, for those with hands that need healing, literally, for Howard Hartnett's family, for people looking at school projects and testing. We give you thanks for volunteers helping with the food bank and Feed My Starving Children, for the miracle of music. We give thanks for things being okay after crashes and joy for the first American Pope. And thanks for volunteers helping Sue Lynn's mother and father. There are a lot of thanks. And dear guardian and friend, we don't want to stop with just the friends and families and neighbors who come easily to mind, But we pray for others in difficulties, particularly those who have no one worrying about them or praying for them. Lifting the ill and the injured, the worn out, the uncared for, the down and out, the unkempt, ill-clothed, ill-behaving, difficult-to-love souls of society, the sorrowing, and all who might be too easy for us to overlook, who yet need our grace and prayers. For all your sheep not of this fold, especially for those who don't realize that they are of your fold, we pray. We pray our own prayers, too, for our sorrows, our brushes with death, our heartbreaks, our lost ways, our aching joints and tears. Incline your ear to our prayers. Caress away our hurts. Feed us and give us cool water for the journey. Push back from us all shadows and hardship and lead us for your name's sake. Bless our congregation, our official leaders and our natural leaders, our members, our congregation, our ministry and mission beginning at this corner and extending the world over. For we do it all and pray it all in your name, O God of all grace. Accept our prayers, we pray. Amen. Every bit as much the work of the people as the prayers. We come to various things in the announcements. Are there announcements that need to be highlighted?
I have one. Bill Hefner with Buildings and Grounds. The Lord is my shepherd. No, I'm sorry. The shepherd is my Lord, I shall not want. But our buildings and grounds do want. And so every fall and spring, we have a chance to meet that need that they have for upkeep. We have a, our work bee is next Saturday. From 8 to, next Saturday, 8 to 12. There's lots to do. And actually, I just saw Danny and Karen came back early, so that means there'll be more to do. On the outside. Please come anytime you can. If there is anybody who would like to do something beforehand, talk to me after church. I have a project on Thursday. We can move some more mulch and maybe take up some sod. Thank you.
Striped shirts optional. Also remind you of the afterword today about Anne's trip to Machu Picchu. God gives us everything. Let us return to God now a portion of what God gives us as we dedicate our lives, our tithes, and our offerings.
Oh,
Accept these offerings now brought before you, O God, the giver of every good and perfect gift. Grant that they may be symbols of our love and of ourselves now offered more fully to you. Use these gifts and us, we pray, to the end that your realm may come and your will be done on earth even as it is done in heaven. Through Jesus Christ our Savior. Amen. I use usually a slightly streamlined version of this passage from Romans 12 as a benediction charge fairly often, but given the events of this last week, the whole thing is good. Let love be genuine. Hate what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with mutual affection. Outdo everyone in showing honor. Do not lag in zeal. Be ardent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in suffering. Persevere in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints. Extend hospitality to strangers. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with everyone. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Do not claim to be wiser than you are. Do not repay anyone evil for evil, but take thought for what is noble in the sight of all. If it is possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all this day, this week, and forevermore. Amen.